The Vancouver Canucks win game one against the Nashville Predators. The vibes return to Rogers Arena. Vibes really great here on the People Show as well. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite. Thousands of five-star Google reviews. So what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. I'm Beck, Dom behind the glass. Behind the glass. Intern Zach behind the glass. Full capacity. Just like yesterday over at Rogers Arena. And you can jam up the phone lines as well. Get into that full capacity. 604-280-0650. 1-888-275-0650. If you want to get in on the People Show, you are the people after a game one win. If there's anything you want to say, sound off on. Your opportunity on phone lines, open boards. We'll talk to Brendan Batchelor in the second half of the show. And as always, you can always get involved in the text line as well. 650-650, our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Dunbar Lumber, three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Do you still have your voice today? If you do, again, call in 604-280-0650 or 1-888-275-0650. Plenty to get into throughout the course of the show. I just want to touch on a couple of things. We'll get to the tea in just a moment. We'll hear from Dom. We've got some things set from 32 Thoughts from the tea. But last night, yeah, fantastic return for the fans. In peak playoff form, I've heard a lot from the players. Ian Cole on the postgame show as well, just mentioning, hey, in warmups, guys were saying they had goosebumps. You saw the emotion from JT Miller postgame, Tyler Myers. Guys had some tears in their eyes. Fans brought it in a big way. That was special. Again, for launch of the station and things that I've personally seen in the building, the only thing that really rivals it is Daniel and Henrik Sedin's final home game, and that moment was fantastic. But yesterday, that was another level. Get your thoughts into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. First text in, unsigned. But Colson deserved the start. Will they make any tweaks? Again, we'll touch on many facets of the game. Also, what you have to say on the phone line. So give us a shout. I can see the phone line ringing right now. So we'll get to the phone line in just a minute. But first, as we start on the People Show, we go to the tea. Don, what's happening?
So if you haven't heard 32 Thoughts, the latest edition, the CarCast edition, first one of the playoffs.
How late were you up till last night?
12:30.
Oh, that's easy.
And then I had to wind down.
Sure.
As you know.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for Bick. Anyway.
I play video games when I get home.
Football Manager?
No. That's too focus driven. I'm just talking like FIFA, NHL, Madden, something
Sorry.
Like that.
So
something mindless.
FIFA is mindless for you? We're going to get sidetracked.
Yeah. No, it's robotic, man. Just XYB, boom, 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 goal, hat trick, Selly.
I get too worked up.
Hit a gritty on the guy.
Do you, wait.
Okay, that's my sitting gritty. I can't do
no,
any
I know.
Better.
No, I know. I need to know whether or not you're doing it while sitting in your home or if you have the action on the player.
No, it's the action on the player. Okay. Yeah, of course.
You do both.
It's what is it? Right trigger, right stick up, and yeah.
Yeah.
I don't actually do it, no.
Have you ever done it?
Have I ever done the gritty? Like my own version of it, yeah.
While you've been playing.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible at it.
Like, oh, I would love to see that.
I dance.
Clowning
I
on
dance.
Some, like 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
I'm a dancer.
First bit of tea. This lit Canucks Twitter ablaze yesterday. Francesco Aquilini having some fun on Twitter last night. Man, so tight. Like a playoff game.
It's back.
Is that the best thing to ever happen to Canucks Twitter in the history of this franchise?
I don't know that, but it's pretty strong. It's pretty strong,
it's
man.
It's up there.
Like, Canucks Twitter is like broken stories, I feel like. Arrivals in players arriving, whatnot. You know, you spot someone at the airport, be like, oh, this guy's family's in town. Canucks Twitter does some fairly fantastic stuff, but that one certainly fits in the lore. Yesterday is the owner. I mentioned the vibes are back. In the building. The vibes are back online as well.
I need to know.
With the owner tweeting.
How you responded. Because you would have been on the post-game show at that time.
So I saw it like, I was on Twitter. Because we get notifications during the show. And I just happened to be on Twitter. And I saw it. And I thought it was like
a fake account.
But I saw that there was no replies allowed on it. And so I was like, if you're a fake account, you're. And so I clicked it. So I was like literally one of the first people to see it. It popped up. It said 3 seconds ago. I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And I quote tweeted the video with the.
Did you guffaw on air?
Jerry, No. I just quote tweeted it because we were like mid conversation. Right. Brett's talking. I was like, I'm not going to stop Brett's great analysis of like the exchange between Lafferty and Hoaglander to be like, whoa, guys, hit the breaking news. Francesco Aquilini just tweeted, man, so tight, almost like a playoff game.
If you had laughed mid Brett Festerling analysis, oh, that would have been a good clip. Anyway, let's move on. The next bit of tea, this one actually from 32 Thoughts, the car cast. Pettersson admitting that he wanted to be paid more than Nylander. Have a listen.
The Canucks' number one priority.
Nope, that's the wrong clip. I'm good at this.
You're spilling the tea.
I really am. Here we go.
You've overcooked the tea.
A couple of people said something interesting to me about how, you know, Nylander signed, mm-hmm. and you signed for a little higher, and they said, that's Pettersson's competitiveness. I'm the king Swede. But it shows how much he wants to be the best, mm-hmm. and be at the top of the mountain. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little competitive there to obviously wanted to get that number, and I'm super blessed how far I came, and I'm just gonna work my hardest to make sure Canucks have done the right thing.
Vic, I'm not sure if petty is the right word, but I love the amount of, well, pettiness that this exudes from Elias Pettersson.
It's competitiveness, right? And I'll use this phrase too, like, money is about the respect it brings, and guys are going to compete for stuff like that, and that's what we talk about, like, the slotting matters. And why people get mad. It's like, oh, he's not worth more than McDavid and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, okay, like that makes sense. And he makes a little bit more than Nylander, makes a little bit more than Erik Karlsson, makes a little bit more than Rasmus Dahlin. And so he's the highest paid Swede in the league. That matters to guys. And to have that level of respect to say that I got this and other guys didn't, that's how it goes. And there's Elias Pettersson admitting it.
Next bit of tea coming out of 32 Thoughts. Elliot Friedman last night outlining the priorities in Canucks free agency. Have a listen.
The Canucks' number one priority is Roenick. And I think that's because he's a defenseman and he's got the biggest number that you're going to have to sign anyone to. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to figure that one out first. But then, Jeff, who's number two? You know, you've got Joshua, you've got Bluger, who's a very good part of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm trying to figure out, like, what's
Lindholm?
The next? Yeah, Lindholm. I don't think that one's going to continue. I think they're going to move on. But I think you could make a really good argument. Joshua's the number two. And, you know, like, if he's going to play like this in the postseason, Jeff, that price isn't going down.
So there's a lot there. One, that Dakota's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Two, that Teddy Bluger is third on the priority list. And three, confirming what we all kind of knew was true, this is a one and done for Lindholm.
Yeah, I was saying last night, you know, for me, Joshua, in the last month or so, since especially coming back from the fight, for me, he's become priority number one amongst the unrestricted free agents. And, you know, Bluger's got a role, but it just doesn't feel like it'll cost as much as Joshua. So the amount of money to me dictates the priority level. But his style of play, the scarcity of the player type as well, and the fact that he fits, like he seems like a Rick Tocchet player. And I don't just mean like, oh, I like this player and how he plays. Connor Garland's a totally different body type and playing style, but that's a Rick Tocchet player. I just mean like the prototype. That looks like modern day Rick Tocchet. To a lesser degree, I understand, but big body, can score goals, does the PK work, plays the wall guy and all these things. Big role in the Lindholm goal as well, taking that puck off the wall, getting it inside. It's a good play. And to me, he's emerged as a top priority free agent that this team needs to resolve. And to me, like the Roenick one is more solving the Roenick situation rather than retaining him, right? Like you might get priced out of Filip Roenick and you have to solve that situation. The Joshua one is, are you coming back or not? It's simple. It's, are we paying up? The Roenick one, you can, if it explores to a trade, because he's restricted, it ends that way. But the Joshua one to me is, turning into, you've got to bring this guy back. And performances like last night, and we'll see moving forward as well through the playoffs, are only going to heighten his profile. And I've mentioned, you know, $13 million total money could be a scenario that develops. And he has a big playoffs. You could crest that number, whatever the term is, if it's 4 years, 5 years. People are going to find themselves fairly enticed by Dakota Joshua as the playoffs continue.
Do you have a walk away?
Yeah, of course you have a walk away.
No, do you have a walk away?
If it hits like $4 million at AV, yeah. But again, that's probably even shaded higher, probably about like 3.5. But hey, if he dominates in the playoffs, I'm okay raising that number to 4.
Vic, I want you to listen to this next clip. It's also from the interview with Elias Pettersson from Elliott Friedman. And let me know if you think whether or not the start and the success of this season, had that not come true, whether or not we would have had an Elias Pettersson extension. Have a listen.
You said you wanted to make sure that the team was going to win. It's been an excellent season. Was there a point during the year where you said, you know what, we're going to do it here?
This is the first time for me with my years in Canucks when we have been a really good team, and I want to win, and I feel we can do that here, and I believe what we can do here and in the future. So,
was there a moment in the season where it clicked in for you, or a game where it really clicked in, where you made you realize we're going the right way?
We came out with a good start, but then like when we were able to stay on that level, and we're still up there, and we're gonna play playoffs. So, super excited for that.
Am I crazy?
Well, that winning matters?
To Pettersson. To the point
where... Of course. This is literally what I've been saying for 2 years, right? The money take cares will absolutely sort itself out, and he ends up getting over $90 million. That was always going to sort itself out because that's dictated by other people's desires, too. If it didn't work out and it's like, oh, the team's not winning here, guess what? Someone was going to be ready to pay the first-round picks and then give him the big contract. He was always going to get more than $90 million. But you had to point the ship in the right direction, and it's a credit to Alvin, it's a credit to Rutherford to get it right, as they did in their short time span, to convince a big piece of the organization to stay. And I know a lot of people were frustrated by his game last night. Look, I've done a cursory rewatch. I'll do another one tonight. I thought he was better than people want to realize. It didn't look like JT, you know, pummeling Sherwood and Lazon early on in the game. But he was very effective. And there were plays, like the 3-on-1 that develops, turns into a 4-on-2. Sam Lafferty chooses to pass it to Tyler Myers instead of Elias Pettersson. He passes it to Elias Pettersson. Like, that's who I'd rather get that puck on a transition opportunity. But he doesn't get that one. It's moments like that that you look at, it's like, this winger's got to help him out. And even today, Rick Tocca was mentioning just how the forecheck for that line was a little inconsistent. And we'll see what develops for them as well.
So the hottest piece of goss that came out of last night, and Elliott Friedman's mouth, this was during the broadcast, but he reiterated it on the 32 Thoughts podcast. Everyone contemplating and pondering whether or not the Canucks bringing back U2 for the walkout music was in any way a troll job against the Nashville Predators. Well, in 2011, they almost trolled the Chicago Blackhawks. Have a listen.
In 2011, when they beat the Blackhawks, they wanted to play Chelsea Dagger. And some others talked them out of it. They said, we're not doing that. Now, I think a lot of those people are no longer there. But Jeff,
oh, I know.
Some of them are.
Let's just say
it's a happy coincidence.
I am so glad, Bick, they didn't do it in 2011.
That would have been so bad.
So
bad. You know, like, what a statement of living rent-free in your head that would have been.
Right?
To say, like, oh, look, we got this one on you, so we're going to play this. That would have been so bad. The U2 thing, like, that's already stapled in, right? That's baked in.
Yeah, coincidence.
They could have went to a Coldplay concert and missed out. You're not suddenly going to break out Fix You to start the game all of a sudden, or Clocks, or whatever your favorite Coldplay song is, to the skate out. This just happened to be U2 in Vegas. You happen to skate out to Streets Have No Name, and it works out. That is just good coincidence, and it's good trolling, and it's a good talk show radio bit, but it's clever. But doing the Chelsea Dagger thing would have been a massive, massive misstep by the organization.
They would have been dunked on.
you know how quickly you were to get trolled for the troll?
Yeah.
That's like a young internet move of like, ha ha forward, 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 reply, reply, reply. And it's like, this is a dumb joke. And it's like, you would have gotten owned.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tea for today.
650-650. Keith texting in. Petey had a few big hits and was looking to run some guys a few times. Was great to see. Yeah, I thought he played better than people want to admit. Also, Rager texting in about Dakota Joshua. Number two priority, number one in our hearts. Well, hey, the way he plays last night, you might change that equation as well. All right. Couple things I do want to touch on. How the Canucks win that game. Defense. Defense, in particular, not team defense, just the 6D men carrying their way. You can pick a moment for every single D-man last night. All six of them. Carson Soucy shutting down Roman Josi along the wall. Quinn Hughes setting up a goal. Philip Peronik had a great denial on the near post. Novak trying to slide it to Philip Forsberg. He picks that pass off. Ian Cole, pick an Ian Cole moment. PK setting up the goal for Lindholm. Tremendous game for Ian Cole. Zadorov carrying the puck through, keeping the pressure up in the offensive zone. Tyler Myers, massive check on the back. Can't remember who it was now, too. But nevertheless, huge check along the boards. Great on the PK. He kind of gets stuck in that one spot where they end up scoring the goal, but it's all tethered to where Soucy is, to where he's got to be for the back post. Tyler Myers, the next three PKs, was immense. And, you know, this has been this conversation throughout the course of the past couple of years. The Canucks got to change the defense. Number one priority for Alvin and Rutherford, fix the defense. They go buy out OEL. They get these guys in. And not only have they adjusted this on the fly, none of it is all, you know, stapled in. The only guys that are signed for term here are expected to be here right now are signed for next year. Quinn Hughes, Carson Soucy, and Noah Juulsen. That's it. I don't know if you want to count Tucker Pullman, but that's not a thing right now. Myers doesn't have a contract. Hronik doesn't have a contract. Zadorov doesn't have a contract. Ian Cole was signed to a one-year deal. They patched this together, and there's still this expectation of, hey, is this really, like, how good is this decor? Well, yesterday, all of them performed tremendously. Ian Cole, last night on the postgame show, with myself, Sat, Brett, and Randeep, called it the best decor in the league. And they might have the Norris winner. So maybe you can make that claim if you're Ian Cole, but they played huge yesterday. Demko plays his role early on, gets with the big save, but Ian Cole, and I thought he was the best among them. He was so good yesterday. I know Quinn Hughes dominates the puck, and he obviously chips in with the point there on Suter's goal, which was changed late. It was originally credited to Hughes. Suter ends up getting the goal. But Ian Cole was just tremendous yesterday. And you see that playoff value all of a sudden come in for Ian Cole. 650-650, Jay Siegel and Kitts. Hey, guys, just like the Kansas City Chiefs had their 12-second comeback in the AFC final against the Bills, the Canucks have their own 12-second moment in Game 1 of the NHL playoffs against Nashville. Two goals in 12 seconds. The pop, man. The pop from that goal. I thought Stone Cold was in the building or something like that. That's how loud it got. I thought it was glass shattering, and it was suddenly just da-dun-da-dun. No, it was just Dakota Joshua. It was just Dakota Joshua putting in that goal. It was brilliant. And, yeah, like, my ears are still ringing from yesterday. I have to go invest in earplugs for tomorrow just to sort it out. That's how rough it is. Dom, what are you giving me a look for?
That's such an old man thing to say.
I'm not young. You got the aid of youth on your side.
I just... Sure. Okay. You're not that old.
That's how good it was. I'm not young.
Speaking of old, Sat Shaw couldn't get the parachute over the basket.
Okay, so on press row and along the top, if you ever watch or look up at the gondola, yeah. You'll see that these are like baskets hanging off the ledge. And where our desks are and everything like that, the workspace. Yeah, if anything gets knocked over.
Like food or something, yeah. Yeah.
So and Sat's been liable to knock popcorn off, sure. And it gets caught in the baskets, and they stay up there all season. I don't know who goes and clears it up. Anyways,
It's actually sad. He goes in with a shop vac.
T-shirts come from the rafters.
Yeah.
Parachutes and prizes for everyone. One T-shirt is coming to press row. I think it had a vendetta against Sat because it came in pretty hot. It's like, Sat Yar Shaw came right after him. And Sat, like, went to go. Look, it went right out. I thought it was going to make its way to me, and it, like, veered right and went right at Sat. I thought he was going to grab it and toss it back, and I thought he grabbed it and threw it back. He claims he batted it back. We don't have VAR. There's no offside line challenge here. But the baskets that hang over the ledge don't go more than 5 inches away. And it didn't make it. And so if you're thinking, if he's batting it back, his hands overextended over the ledge. And it didn't go more than 3 inches. And it lands in the basket, half the parachutes strewn about over the edge. If you were sitting in sections 118 or 324, look, we apologize, man. Sat should have knocked that shirt back into play. Just didn't keep it in play. Rough moment for Sat Shaw. You're working on something back there? What's going on?
I was going to do the Maury Povich drop, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's too late.
Couldn't find it in time?
No.
Unlucky. Man who says he's doing the gritty and on Madden says he's not young.
Hey, good point.
Hey, look, it's not my fault they built into the game. Are you an Xbox guy or a PlayStation? I'm a PlayStation guy.
Yeah.
But apparently, I only learned this recently. Look, I don't play online. I only learned recently. You can now cross-platform play. See, I'm old. I don't know these things. I just, 1 a.m. after a game.
I would have grabbed the T-shirt and, like, given it a good heave. Like, I don't know why he went to bat it.
He choked.
Yeah.
He choked under the pressure, man.
Like, why bat?
He's listened to Rick Tockett for a better part of a year. Meet pressure with pressure. And Sat couldn't chip it out, man. It was just a bad knockback.
Why would you bat it? I don't get it.
He's scared. Telling you, that shirt had some issues.
He didn't meet the moment. It had some issues.
That shirt was like gunning for Sat, right? They must have done something in a past life. Maybe he didn't use the right fabric softener or whatever, and it's like, Sat, coming for you! Whatever it was. That T-shirt on that parachute had one mission. It failed, just like Sat did yesterday. All right, 650. We'll get to some of your thoughts as well into the inbox. Brendan Batchelor will join us on the other side, the voice of the Vancouver Canucks, who got to call all four goals and a Vancouver Canucks victory over the Nashville Predators in Game 1. I want to play a couple of thoughts from what Rick Tockett said as well today on a couple of things the Canucks can work on. It's all coming up here on The People Show, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.